In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death, amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Lady Fatima. Saint Joseph. All God's angels and saints. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. So before getting into our worksheets, I want to congratulate all of you for persevering in this wonderful program. And I'm going to be praying that this will be the happiest day in your life. That's going to be my prayer. It's going to be my prayer now as well as when we celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which of course is always the most important thing we can do, is go to Mass and receive Holy Communion. And a word on joy, and then I'll explain what we're going to be doing today. It's going to be a little bit different. And we'll jump into our worksheet, is this. Everybody in the world, irrespective of the time, place, culture, country, language, everybody in the world, about 7 billion people, that's how many people are, more or less, want to be happy. And so do you. So do I. Now that being the case, why is it that you have so many people that want to be happy? You have girls cutting their wrists. Some people commit suicide. Some people give in to drinking. There are a lot of brawls and fights. You go to school and you see some kids that are okay, others that are really sad and depressed. And my response is going to be very simple. We're all called to be happiness, but they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Looking for happiness in the wrong place. There's once a mother that lost her keys. Couldn't find her keys. Probably happened to your mom more than once. She was in the garage. She looked on the top of the refrigerator. She looked in the refrigerator. She looked underneath the bed. And finally, she found out that the keys were in her purse after where they usually are. So she was looking in the wrong place. So also, people who want to be happy, they're sad because they're looking for happiness in the wrong place. Now, where can you find happiness? Only in God. And who was the person that loved God most in the world? Was Mary. No one in the world that loved God most than Mary. And we're going to be talking about that today. Mary loved God most. Mary's in heaven now loving God. And Mary loves what God loves. And that is you. Mary loves what God loves, you, and the salvation of your soul. So I think that's an idea you should keep in mind the rest of your life. You want to be happy. But sadness comes when we're not walking with God. We're walking with the enemy, because the devil exists too. Happiness only comes when we're walking with God and trying to do His holy will. Do you know that some people can suffer and be happy at the same time? Some of you have maybe read the Acts of the Apostles, which is after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See the apostles, they're arrested, they're beaten for the name of Jesus, and they're rejoicing after they're thrown in jail because they could suffer for Jesus Christ. So we can suffer, we can be happy at the same time. So I really hope and pray that this is going to be the happiest day in your life. The reason being is that you're going to be giving yourself totally to Jesus through Mary. So starting today, you no longer belong to yourself, but you belong to Mary. That should give you a lot of joy. You belong totally to Mary. Your eyes belong to Mary. Your mind belongs to Mary. Your past belongs to Mary. Your present belongs to Mary. You belong to Mary. You're her property. So hopefully that will give you a lot of peace, a lot of joy, that you belong totally to Mary. Okay, now, what are we going to do today to arrive at our consecration? Okay, we're going to have the normal presentation with your worksheet. You're going to break up into groups for a short time. Then we're going to be coming back, and I'm going to be leading you through kind of like a prayer, a meditation, to lead you right into your consecration. That'll be about 11:30, 11:35. After that, and you'll be given a sheet for that, after that, we're going to be going to Mass. As I said earlier, the greatest prayer in the world is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So always remember that. The consecration of Mary is important, but Mary always wants us to love the Mass. Mary wants us to love the Mass. When Our Lady appeared in Guadalupe, in Mexico, what did she ask for? A church. When she appeared in Fatima, what did she ask for? A church. When she appeared in Lourdes, France, what did she ask for? A church. Why a church? To celebrate Mass. Who comes in Mass? Jesus Christ. So what Our Lady says, she always wants us to go to Jesus. The last words that Mary said in the Bible were, do whatever he tells you, in the wedding feast of Cana. The best advice in the world. You give me better advice than that. Do whatever he tells you. The best advice in the world. If everyone would do that, there would be universal love and harmony in the whole world. Do whatever he tells you. Okay, now the Mass is going to be the same but different. Same is because the Mass is always the same in the sense that the priest celebrates the Mass, he's going to be consecrating the host, turning it into the body and the blood of Christ. But it's different in the sense that you're going to be making your consecration. Now normally when I make consecrations, I usually do the consecration right after the homily, but we're not going to do it that way this time because some people come to Mass and they have to go to work or they have to go back to their family. So we're purposely going to do the consecration at the end of the Mass. So the people who have to go back to work won't arrive late at work and lose their jobs, okay? Because some people come here on their lunch break. So we'll have the Mass. I'll give you the final blessing. We'll sing a hymn to Mary. And then after that, you are going to pull out, we're going to be giving you a consecration card, okay? This consecration card, you're at the end, you're going to sign it and the date, the place. It's a very beautiful prayer written by St. Louis de Montfort, and it's very beautiful. We're going to be going through it quickly when we pray it, but invite you to pray it often so you understand more and more the meaning of your consecration. Okay, after that, I'm going to take holy water and I'm going to bless the scapulars. Okay, I'm going to be blessing the scapulars. And after the scapulars are blessed, you're going to be coming up with your scapular and you're going to be presenting the scapular to one of the priests and we're going to be placing the scapular over your head, and we're going to be saying, receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary, and you say, Amen. Okay, we're going to be giving you some beautiful gifts. Some of our helpers had some great ideas in which they're going to be giving you some very, very beautiful gifts. It's going to be a surprise, but be very thankful that you're going to have these gifts, and all these gifts are related to the consecration. And then you have to live out your consecration. And every year, you're going to be renewing your consecration. I made my first consecration in year 1976. That's probably when your mom was born, okay? About that time. I was 20 years old, and after that I wanted to become a priest. So, you know, it works. I was already thinking about becoming a priest, but once I made that consecration, Mary was saying, hey, you know, head toward the priesthood. So a lot of things happen once you consecrate yourself to Mary. And you have to live out your consecration. All right. A word then on this. Here's a scapula. Here's my scapula that I wear. Now the scapula that you have, you're going to be wearing it always. If your scapula breaks, then you can bury it or burn it because it's blessed. You don't throw it in the trash, okay? Either bury it or burn it, okay? Sacramentals, we don't throw away because they're holy. Okay, what does a scapular mean? By means of analogy, how do you know I'm a religious priest? Like if I'm walking through the streets in East LA, I'm walking like this, okay? People are not going to say, well, he's a baseball player on the Dodgers. No. No. This isn't the way the Dodgers dress, no, nor the Angels, no. They're going to say he's a priest, he might even be a religious priest, and I am. I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary. Okay? Now the difference between the Jesuits and the oblates is this. The Jesuits wear a habit too, black habit. But they've got the sash, they wear it on the right. We wear it on the left. And the horse has it on the back, right? Okay, that was a joke, okay? We wear it on the left, the Jesuits wear it on the right, okay? How do you know someone is a baseball player? Yesterday, this morning I was watching a recap of my favorite team. They happened to win yesterday, the New York Yankees, okay? They were playing the Seattle Mariners, and they were dressed in gray. But when they go home, they're dressed in white. Did you know that? Because in gray, when they play away, they wear a darker color. When they go home, they've got the pinstripes, the white and the pinstripes. So you can tell that he's a New York Yankee by his uniform. How about a doctor? I have a brother who's a doctor. The doctor has his special garments that he wears. I have a nephew who's a soldier, an American soldier. Okay, he's an officer. He's a captain in the American Army. Okay, he's got his uniform on. How can you tell a girl is going to get married? She comes in what in the bridal gown, right? Now, by way of analogy, this is the garment of Mary. So by wearing this, this means that you belong to Mary. This is the garment of Mary. And you'll wear it proudly. You don't take it off, except when you're taking a bath, okay? But aside from that, you always wear it. Now this thought occurred to me. We are in spiritual combat. Spiritual combat. What would happen if a soldier went to fight an enemy only with a pea shooter? And the enemy was coming with a tank and a bazooka. Dead meat, huh? Pea shooter. Another one's coming with a tank and a bazooka. So as spiritual soldiers, we must have two things. This is our shield. Spanish escudo. Okay? This is our shield against the attacks of the enemy. Because the devil exists. He's not a mythical figure walking around with red pajamas with a pointy tail and a pitchfork, okay? As the comics depict him. It's not the way the devil is. The devil doesn't wear pajamas, okay? The devil is invisible, and have you ever had any bad thoughts? Every day, right? Mind games? When you got really kind of ugly thoughts that are going around? Probably every hour you got them. That's the devil working on you. So we have to have our shield. And also, do any of you remember the story of David and Goliath? It was my favorite story when I was a teenager. Because I like action, no? Never heard of the story of David and Goliath, huh? Goliath was a big guy. Kind of like Father Larry or Father Craig, all these big guys, okay? David was smaller, kind of like me. And Goliath was a ferocious soldier who killed many, many people. He was in the Philistines' army. So the Philistines challenged the Jewish people to fight. And King Saul was there, and David said, I'll do it. And David had never fought before. He was a shepherd. So David tried to put on the armor of Saul, but it was too big for him. So he decided he was just going to use his slingshot. And Goliath was coming after him with a huge crescent sword about this size. And Goliath looked at him and said, ah, you come at me like a dog with your slingshot? He said, I'm gonna cut off your head and throw you to the birds of the air. And David said, you come in the name of your gods, but I come in the name of God of heaven and earth. So David ran to the battle line. He took out his slingshot. He took out one stone. And he aimed. And this is what happened. He aimed and he shot the little stone in the forehead of the giant. And he fell down on his knees and collapsed. And David ran up and got his sword. Home run. Grand slam, better said. He chopped his head off. And he took the head of the giant and he brought it to King Saul. Here's the head of Goliath. Hopefully you're not going to have nightmares, but the meaning is very clear. We are in spiritual combat today. You're surrounded by so many Goliaths, cholos, gang members, drinking, pornography, drugs, violence, transgenderism, homosexuality. You are bombarded with so many Goliaths on the right and the left, north, south, east, and west. You're being surrounded by Goliaths. They want to chop your head off, morally and spiritually. So we have to have our shield. We have to have our shield. And we have to have our spiritual weapon. This is our shield. All right, this is our shield. It's cool though. And this is our spiritual weapon. So if we do that, we're going to win the battle. And we'll get to heaven to be with Mary for all eternity. Is that clear? You know, as young teenagers today, you got to be strong. We have a word in New York called a wimp. You ever hear the word a wimp? Un wimpito? You can't be a wimp. Spanish mujercita. You can't be a wimp. No? You got to be strong. And Mary, if you've ever been to Mexico, there's a place called Guadalajara. In Guadalajara, you got La Virgen de Zapopa. And they call Mary La Generala del Ejército. Any of you speak Spanish? What's La Generala del Ejército? La Generala del Ejército. Now you forgot your Spanish, yeah? La Generala means the general. Ejército means of the army. Mary's the head of the army. And we're her foot soldiers, huh? I'm glad to be. I'm glad to be in the army, Mary. I'm glad to be her soldier. Because you know what? Mary, as a general, we're going to win the battle. Amen? Amen, huh? Okay, so that's our program. So our worksheet, a little bit of sharing, our prayer and preparation at 11:30. Head over to the Mass, normal Mass, until the end. Then you're going to make your consecration with your consecration prayer. I'm going to bless the scapulars. Then you're going to come up. We're going to be placing the scapulars upon you. And then after that, you'll receive a gift. And it's up to you to live out your consecration by being good soldiers of Jesus and Mary. Amen? Okay, let's go now to our worksheet. You all have it? Got a pencil? Got your thinking caps on? Brains tuned in, huh? Distractions out the door? Okay, number one. Every year, the Catholic Church celebrates two wonderful Marian, M-A-R-I-A-N, liturgical days. That means Masses in honor of Mary. Almost back to back. August 15th, any of you know what we celebrate August 15th? It's the middle of August and the middle of summer. See that one? What's August 15th? What's that? Okay, the Assumption of Mary into heaven. The Assumption of Mary into heaven. Body and soul. Body and soul. Then a week later, August 22nd, talking about a month from today, the church celebrates, I'll give you a hint, look at the picture below. What's happening in that beautiful picture? See the angels? What do the angels have? Okay, the angels have a crown, okay? So celebrates the crowning or coronation of Mary as, what's the word? As queen. One leads to the other. Now, given that we live in what is called a democracy. Have any of you studied history? You know what a monarchy is? We live in a democracy. But years ago, the government was called a monarchy. Monarchy, you've got the king and the queen. Now, for us as Americans, it's hard for us to understand, you know, what the heck is a queen, or you still have the queen in England, which is a figurehead more than anything else. So we don't understand that the king and the queen were the most powerful people in the country, might even be the world. Now I'll give you an example. You've heard of Christopher Columbus, right? He went to Queen Isabella and he asked for ships. And she gave him the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Did you learn that? Okay. These huge ships, just like that. That's power. So Queen Isabella could give Christopher Columbus the Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, just like that. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the Queen of the universe. She can give us a million times more if we trust her. You know, we receive little because we ask for little. So we should beg Mary for special graces, especially graces of holiness, to really become saints and love Jesus more and more. Those are the graces we should be begging for more than anything else. Mary always hears your prayers. But if you're praying like this, Mary, okay, I'm consecrated to you. I'm in Hawaiian Gardens. Please, I'm going to go to the casino. Help me to win $10,000. Oh, amen. Okay. So you go there, you end up by losing $500, okay? Mary, where were you? Where were you? Ah! Because you're praying for something that was bad. Mary heard you, but she said no. N-O. Okay? Sometimes Mary says no if we're asking for something that's bad for us. Yeah, you win $10,000 and you use it, you know, to buy some drugs. No, Mary always hears us. But if something can be dangerous for us, nope. Because we ask according to the will of God. Amen? Okay, let's move on to below, Our Lady of the Apocalypse is presented as the woman clothed in the sun. Now lift up your eyes for a minute and just look to my left. Who do you have there? That's Our Lady of Fatima? Our Lady of Lourdes, right? Oh, okay. Who is it? Our Lady of Guadalupe. Ah, you see there. The woman clothed with the sun. She got stars. She got a moon underneath her feet, right? So, the book of the Apocalypse was written how many years ago? About 2,000 years ago. It's the last book of the Bible. When did Our Lady Guadalupe appear? Any of you history majors here? 1531. So about 500 years ago. So the prophecy, the Apocalypse, was about Our Lady Guadalupe. It happened 1500 years later. Very interesting. That was a prophecy. Prophecy of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Did you know the Lady Guadalupe is the patron of the Americas? Who's the patron of the United States? Under what title? The Immaculate Conception. So our patron is His Immaculate Conception. Any of you ever go to Washington, D.C.? None of you? Have you heard of Washington, D.C.? Any of you visit the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C.? Next time you go to Washington, D.C., you have to visit the Basilica of the Immaculate Conception. Very beautiful. Maybe the most beautiful in our country. Okay, next. Clothed in the sun with the stars encircling her head and the, what's underneath her feet? The moon underneath her feet. This biblical passage presents both Our Lady being assumed, taken up to where? Heaven. And then with the, what's above her head? Crown. She's acclaimed as the queen. Jesus is the King of all creation, the King of the universe. But Mary is Queen of heaven and earth. Any of you see the movie The Cristeros, for the greater glory? You know what they said? Que viva Cristo Rey, right? Que viva la Reina. Que viva la Virgen Guadalupe, huh? Number two. All must suffer. All must suffer and die one day, because we were conceived with the stain of what? Original sin. And the wages of sin is give you a hint. Cemetery? Death. Wage of sin is death, according to the teachings of St. Paul. So one day we're going to die. We don't know the day nor the hour, but it's the most important moment in our life is the moment we die. That will determine our fate for all eternity. Either we're going to go up or down. No other possibility. That's why every day you should prepare yourself for death at least 50 times. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hey? Every time you pray the rosary, you're preparing yourself for death 50 times. So if you keep praying the rosary when you're dying, who's going to be next to you? The devil's going to be there, yeah. The devil's going to tempt you, but Mary's there. If Mary's there, what happens to the devil? He takes off. The devil's afraid of Mary. Mary and the devil, they cannot be in the same place at the same time. The devil takes away, takes off. So we want to make sure that we die in the presence of Mary. Amen? Okay, next. Mary did not have to what? What? Mary did not have to die, as we necessarily must die one day. A very special and unique. Any good spellers know how to spell that? Unique, U-N-I-U-Q-U-E. Privilege was granted to Mary. What's that privilege that Mary was given that she did not have to die? We celebrate on the 8th of December. The Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception. As we learn, that means that Mary did not have original sin. Therefore, she was not under its debt. Under its debt. D-E-B-T. Its debt, which is death. However, most theologians who study Mary believe that Mary did die so as to imitate her son Jesus all the more. That being said, it must be stated and understood that our death is different than Mary's. How do most people die? If we're going to put how most people die is very different than Mary. Heart disease. Cancer. My grandmother lived in 3 centuries. Some would think that's impossible, Father. No, she didn't. My grandmother lived in 3 centuries. Born in 1898 and she died 2002. So my grandmother died of old age, yeah. She was just 104 years old and she died. Old age accidents on the freeway, right? You hear that every day. And sometimes even violent deaths. Listening to the radio the other day, how a cousin killed another cousin with a gun. It's a violent death. This is the lot of all of humanity. Okay, number 5, not so with Mary. The reason for her departure from this life to the next life, which was heaven, was that she died of excessive love. Died of excessive love that burned in her most pure and immaculate heart for Jesus. The longing in her heart to be united with her son became so intense that her her soul left her body. Then God's angels descended to take the body of Mary to be united forever with her soul. There are only two persons who are in heaven in body and soul now. Who are they? Jesus and Mary. Jesus, ascended, which means went up into heaven. Mary's body was assumed into heaven. Okay, what happens then if a saint dies, like Saint Maximin Kolbe, or Maria Goretti, or Jose Luis Sancho del Rio? What happens if he dies and goes to heaven? He goes to heaven only with his soul. So in heaven, there's a lot of souls in heaven, but only two with their bodies. You say, for example, you live to be 75, you live a very, very good life, and you die and you go right to heaven. Let's hope that that's the case. You go with your soul. What about your body? Kind of decompose, right? Are you ever going to be united with your body? It's good that you know this. There are two judgments. There's the particular judgment as soon as you die. You die as a martyr, shedding your blood for Christ. You go right to heaven with your soul. But your body is buried. The very, very end of the world, what's going to happen is called the general judgment. You can read this in Matthew chapter 25. It's the shepherd are going to separate the goats on his left and the sheep on his right. He's going to say, I was hungry, you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. I was naked, you clothed me, a foreigner. You welcomed me, sick and in prison, and you visited me. And then he's going to separate the goats who did not help out. So at the end of the world, if you're in heaven already with your soul is going to be united with your body. And your body and your soul are going to be in heaven for all eternity. It's important that we know that. That's only at what's called the general judgment. And you're going to have, say for example, you die at 95, blind in one eye, without your teeth, and with arthritis, with all these sicknesses, your body's going to be different. You're going to have a new glorified body, which is going to be strong and healthy and beautiful. You're able to travel faster than light. Okay? These are it's called the glorified qualities of the risen body. But in the meantime, only two people are in heaven in body and soul. They are Jesus and Mary. So Jesus, by means of his ascension, Jesus went up by his own power, or Mary was taken up to heaven in her assumption. So the ascension would be the second glorious mystery, right? And the assumption is what mystery of the rosary? Fourth glorious. You've got to get to know the mysteries of the rosary, okay? Okay, number seven. Assumption. The depiction of Father Peyton, the rosary priest. Did you ever hear that phrase, the family that prays together stays together? Ever hear that? Family that prays together stays together was coined by Father Patrick Peyton. He's called the rosary priest. And just for your information, he came to Hollywood and he was talking with the people at Hollywood and he actually was instrumental making a movie on the 15 mysteries of the rosary. So you should ask your parents to buy the DVD of the 15 mysteries of the rosary. Let me tell you one of the scenes that I like best related to the assumption. This is how he presents it. This is extra biblical, but it's a good chance that this would happen. Mary, after Jesus went to heaven, she went to live in the house of St. John in a place called Ephesus. Okay, so Mary was there with St. John until she was going to be taken up to heaven. Mary, knowing that her life was coming to an end, traveled from Ephesus back to Jerusalem. And Mary went to visit all the places where Jesus suffered, his scourging, the crowning of thorns. Then she walked the way of Calvary. And she's venerating where Jesus fell underneath the cross. Then she climbed to the top of Calvary where Jesus died. And she's walking with St. John the whole time. And she said she wanted to go back to the upper room, the cenacle, and she wanted to say goodbye to all the apostles that were living. So there she goes to the upper room. She goes to Rome and lays down, and she's about to go up to heaven. And the apostles are coming, and Mary is giving them her last words and her blessing. So it takes a long time for Peter to arrive. So Peter arrives a little bit later, and then John sees Peter, and John says, Our Lady has been waiting to be able to talk with you. And Peter said, Where is she? She's in the room there. So Peter enters the room, Mary's laying in the bed and Peter falls to his knees. And he places his hands in Mary's hands. And Mary's caressing Peter. And Peter says this to Mary. Mary, before you go to heaven, I want you to do me a favor. What, Peter? Anything. I want you to tell Jesus that I love him. And Mary said, well, Peter, he already knows it. And Peter says, but it sounds much better from your lips. Sounds much better from your lips. Then Mary is taken, she dies, and then she's taken to heaven. So whenever you talk to Mary, she talks to Jesus, and it sounds much better from her lips. That's why we go to Mary. Anything you present to Mary, she presents to Jesus, and Jesus cannot deny anything that his mother asks. As we found the wedding feast of Cana, Jesus turned water into wine. Why? Because of Mary's intercession. Mary's powerful. Amen? So hopefully you'll be able to get, your parents will be able to purchase that, the 15 Mysteries of the Rosary by Father Patrick Payton. After Mary gently passed away from this life to heaven, she is buried in a special tomb, and a stone is placed there to cover her burial place. Similar to the resurrection of Jesus, some of the remaining apostles go to her, what's the word? Her tomb, early the following day. What do they see? The stone has been rolled away. The stone has been rolled away. There is heavenly music. And the angels reveal this fact. Mary is no longer there because she has been taken up. She's been taken up to heaven in both body and soul. The apostles and other friends of Jesus and Mary rejoice exceedingly at this good news. Imagine that you are there at this scene. Imagine that you're there at that scene and rejoice. Rejoice with Mary's friends. Mary is your mother. Your guide, friend, and intercessor. Okay, mother, she loves you. Guide, she's leading you on the right path. Friend, she's always available. Intercessor, she's able to pray for you and bring your prayers to Jesus. That's what those words mean. Mother, guide, friend, and an intercessor. Number 10. Try to see what must be happening in heaven. The angels, archangels, and all the choirs of angels are rejoicing and exulting. Praise. To the Blessed Trinity upon the entrance of Mary into heaven forever. Jesus is there. King. Jesus is their king. But now there is a welcome addition. Mary is their queen. Jesus is king, and Mary is queen. Okay, now we're going to see how this applies to us. Maybe that seemed to be somewhat theoretical. Let's see how this is applied to us in our consecration. Okay, your heart should be overflowing with joy, peace, and trust. Joy, peace, and trust in this glorious moment of Mary entering heaven. For Mary is also your queen, but she is your mother first. I know what concepts come to you when you think about a queen or a king. Right away, I think about power. A lot of power, no? When I think about mother, I think about love. That's what comes to my mind right away. Queen, power. King, power. Mother, our mother loves us. So Mary's both queens. So she's powerful. But she has so much love. So much love. You know, Mary loves all of you very much. I say, Mary loves you very much. Don't you fill you with joy and peace? I said this before, I'll say it again. St. Augustine, put all the love of all the mothers of all times together. The love that Mary has for you is much greater than that. I repeat, put all the love of all the mothers of all time together, the love that Mary has for you is much greater. That's a lot of love, isn't it? And always, sometimes your mother gets angry at you. Sometimes you deserve it too, you have to admit, right? Okay, maybe it's your fault. You think it's her fault, no? But you know, Mary, she never gets angry at us. She gets hurt a little bit when we commit a sin, but then when we come back and we tell Jesus we're sorry, she's rejoicing so much. Okay? Mary's love for you is great. It's great. Number 12. Now imagine the immense joy of all the, who's in heaven? The saints. Who's the greatest saint in the world? Okay, so her spouse, Saint Joseph. Her Mary's cousin's name was who? Saint Elizabeth, right? And Saint John the Baptist, the first martyr. Saint John the Baptist. Then the first martyr, his name was Saint... Who's the first martyr that was stoned to death? Any of you know? John? Saint Stephen. Some of the 12, who were those 12 followers of Jesus? Apostles. Her cousin of the Visitation, who was that? I already mentioned her. Saint who? Elizabeth. And the saints of the Old Testament. Many, many more who rejoice at the entrance of Mary into heaven. 13. Even though it is true that Our Lady has been assumed into heaven in both body and soul, never to leave her heavenly reward and place of highest honor, we must be firmly convinced that Our Lady loves and cares for us, intercedes for us, protects us, encourages and consoles us now and Spanish, the word is siempre. Now and always. Now and always. Never feel that since Mary is in heaven, she is far from us here on earth. It's a temptation. Well, she's way up there in the sky. She's a million light years away from us. Well, no, she's very, very close to us. She's closer to you than your own shadow is close to you. Your shadow is pretty close, right? Never feel that since Mary's in heaven, she's far from us here on earth. On the contrary, Mary is all the closer to us. For she can see each one of us and what is in our hearts. We must believe this and call out to Mary constantly, day and night, in good times and in bad, in health and as well as in riches as well as in poverty. That's actually what your mom and dad said on the day that they got married, okay? Faithful in good times and bad, and health and sickness, riches and poverty, until death do they part. So if a husband and a wife are going to entrust themselves to each other, we should entrust ourselves even more to Mary. Finally, before I read number 15, I'd like to just to read through those beautiful pictures. Our Lady St. Faustina, I am not only the Queen of Heaven, but also the Mother of Mercy. Pope Francis, Our Lady is always close to us, especially when we feel the weight of life with all its problems. Also, Pope Francis, let us look to Mary, our Mother, who loves us so much. That number 15. Saint Thérèse of Lisieux said this about Mary. True, Mary is queen, but she is more mother than she is queen, and she is your mother and mine. So this is going to be, I hope, the happiest day in your life because you're going to be giving yourself totally to Jesus through Mary. Okay, now, right now, we're going to be breaking up into your groups for a few minutes and then coming back at 11:30 to prepare ourselves spiritually for this day of consecration. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Lady Guadalupe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.